I just sort of bowed out. I stopped singing because I. All right, Exodus. We're in Exodus this evening, afternoon. Exodus 18. And Moses is going to get a little bit of counsel here about how to proceed. And I will say, I have just briefly note that I've heard that this is bad counsel, but I don't believe that. So it doesn't appear to be bad counsel. It doesn't appear to be ungodly counsel. It doesn't even appear to be outside of what Moses needs to do. It seems to be exactly what he needs to do. So Exodus 18. Moses leading Israel through the wilderness, and his father-in-law hears about everything that's gone on with the nation, how they leave Egypt, and all the miraculous power that's been displayed in the nation of Egypt and against the nation of Egypt, and the deliverance of the Israelite people. And so Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he is coming to meet Moses out in the wilderness. And this is what happens. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then we'll pray and talk about this. So verse 1 says, "When Jethro the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of the one was Gershom, for he said, 'I have been an alien in a strange land.' And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was my help, and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God. And he said unto Moses, 'I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife and her two sons with her.' And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, did obeisance and kissed him, and they asked each other of their welfare, and they came in into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, 'Blessed be the Lord who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dwelt, they dealt proudly, he was above them.' Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering, sacrifices for God, and Aaron came, all the elders of Israel, to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And it came to pass, on the morrow, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, 'What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?' And Moses said unto his father-in-law, 'Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws.' And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, 'The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone.'" All right, I'm going to stop there and deal with the subject of counsel. This counsel, and Moses finds some, I think it's good counsel along the way here. The Lord seems to honor it, and going forward in the nation's future. And even at this time, the thing that Jethro is going to tell Moses would be a good idea to do, the advice he gives him, seems like when you go to the book of Numbers, some of it has already sort of been hinted at by this time already. But let's pray, and we'll talk about counsel here. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here this afternoon. I pray you'd help us get through what we need to get through and learn what we can learn from your words, and that you'd minister to us, that you would feed your flock, that you'd nourish us with what you've said, and or that you'd help us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as the Israelites move into this wilderness, they wander around, and there's problems obviously arising between families, between neighbors, and you know, stuff just comes up, especially when you have this many people, and stuff just starts coming up, and everybody's bringing their problems to Moses. And so Moses will deal with whatever the principle needs to be applied to this particular problem, and he's doing this morning to evening all day. It's just a constant flow of people and their problems. And so Jethro sees this, and he gives some advice that actually shows back up in the New Testament when the early church starts, where deacons are appointed. But he gives some advice about delegation. And so this is we'll deal with the actual counsel that he gives in a second. But just like in the previous chapter, just like Moses needs some sort of support. He can't do this all by himself. And just like in the previous chapter where he's holding his hands up, Joshua's winning, and then his hands start to fall down, and then the battle, you know, Joshua starts losing, things like that. The flesh is it's just weak, and he just can't do everything. And so, like in the previous chapter, so Aaron and Hur get rocks and they sit Moses down and they prop up his arms, and there's no thus saith the Lord, get thou self thy rocks and put them under Moses' hands or anything like that. They just do that because that's what needs to be done. And so the same sort of principles are at work here, but now he's mediating matters between people. It's not just holding up hands in prayer. Now he's judging and mediating between people and applying principles in life about the principles that the Lord's given him about how to handle these situations. And so Moses needs some support. And that's the way I read this. Like I said it before about hearing that this is bad advice, or there's no thus saith the Lord here, where there was no thus saith the Lord in the previous chapter either. So I don't think that's necessarily an issue. So the counsel that Moses receives is threefold. And I'm going to go through it. We're going to cover it a little bit more in depth as we go through it. But he says this in verse 19. Jethro says this: "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee." That's called burden bearing. So they're going to take up some of these lesser things that aren't as complicated and don't require as much. They can just deal with them the way they need to be dealt with. Verse 23, if thou shalt do this thing and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. So three pieces of advice real quickly. We'll come back over it. But first point is, teach all the people. Just as a congregation, teach all the people the statutes. Teach them all the ordinances as a congregation. And some things can be filtered out through the pulpit. You deal with it through the pulpit. Second thing is, not everything's going to be dealt with through the pulpit. Some people have more complicated matters. Let them go to folks that can kind of sort out that they have a fear of God. They're not covetous. They're not going to be persuaded by any other of these other things that warp people's perception of the situation or skew their perception of what's going on. Third thing is, if those 70 elders can't figure it out, then you take on the bigger matters, the things that can't be sorted out. There's maybe motives involved, or there's something that's not real clear what the principle should be applied to the situation. That comes to you. So that's the advice he gives. Now, that said, we'll come back to all that. We'll come back to that counsel and that advice. But I want you to notice really three things in this whole episode that are true about counsel. The first thing is, when Moses is receiving this fatherly advice from Jethro, he's not doing anything wrong. He's doing something good. He's trying to mitigate these matters between the Israelites. And it tells you something about really a truth that it's just true. But the right thing can be done the wrong way. You can do the right thing the wrong way. Or you can do the right thing in an inefficient way. In a way that's just, it's not going to last. You can't continue down this road. And so what Moses is doing, he's not doing anything bad. He's not sinning against God because he's taking everybody's matter upon himself, or because he sits from sunup to sundown trying to figure out people's problems and stuff like that. That's not a bad thing. It's good, but it's just not going to last. You're not going to be able to do this day and night, Moses. You're just not going to be able to do this. And that's true. You're not going to be able to do this. You have limitations. You could say, well, you know, it's supernatural and all that stuff. Well, it wasn't supernatural when someone had to hold up his hands in the last chapter. And it's not going to be supernatural here because he's going to wear out. So all of this, you can over-spiritualize this stuff, but counsel sort of figures out the counsel and the wisdom of counsel and the wise counsel sort of muddles through and gets through and discerns through. All right, you're doing something good. You're just doing it in a really inefficient way. It's not going to work. At least you can't do this forever. You can't continue down this road. So, like I said, Moses doing the right thing. He's just not going to be able to keep up at this pace. Just like he wasn't able to keep his hands up. He couldn't do it. And God didn't supernaturally intervene and magically hold his hands up. No, somebody had to get involved and support his hands so that he could hold his hands up, just like in this case. So sometimes it isn't about what you're trying to accomplish. Because what you're trying to accomplish may be a very good thing. But the way you're going about it is either not going to last very long, and somebody can see that and spot that. Somebody like Jethro, a fatherly figure who shows up in Moses' life and says, hey, you know, I'm an outside perspective here. I'm not in the midst of all this. And I can just sit outside and watch how this is gonna play out in a couple months. You will be wore out, and the people will be tired of coming to you because you will be so mad at them and so tired of dealing with their stuff that it's going to be bad for everybody. So it's the right thing. It's just the wrong way. Sometimes it isn't about what you're trying to accomplish, because, like I said, what you're trying to accomplish is good. It's about how you're going about it. And I know we can get very defensive if you have something good you're trying to accomplish, and somebody comes in and an outside perspective and says, hey, there may be a better way to do this that will last longer and have better effects in the future. And we get very defensive. We can get very defensive about really anything we're doing, but particularly if it's something good that you're doing. And I want to do this good thing, and then somebody has some little bit different advice and say, you know, you can keep trying to hold your hands up here, but you're going to wear out. People are going to get tired of it, and there's a better way of doing this. So first point is simply this. It's the right thing that Moses is doing. It's the wrong way. It's just not an efficient way to do this. So wise counsel can, what does wise counsel do in this case? Well, it's going to prolong the ministry. It's going to make it last longer. In fact, Proverbs says, wisdom or a wise man prolongs, how does he say it? Prolongs the state, something like that. It's about the state. But it's wisdom. When wisdom is put into the situation, what it does is it prolongs and gives longevity to something that may be just a flash in the pan, or it seems like a flash in the pan. Well, wisdom shows up and says, hey, if you don't want this to just be a flash in the pan, then take some advice and we'll stretch this thing out and make it last a little bit longer. So that's what Jethro's trying to do. You're going to wear out if you keep doing it this way. Second thing is, I noticed with Moses is said to be a very meek man. And so he's open to counsel. He's not going to defend everything that he's doing. He's open to listen to good advice. And like I said, typically we can get defensive. Everybody, I think, gets defensive about plans and activities, especially when you're doing something good or trying to do something good. But Moses, he's a meek man. So he doesn't get defensive when Jethro says, you're not going to be able to do this work very long. I mean, I could just hear it. I can just hear some folks. Jethro sort of gets in the conversation and says, hey, I see what you're doing, but I don't think this is going to last very long. Well, who are you to say? I'm doing the work of God here. Who are you to say that this isn't going to last? God's going to help me. And I mean, you get so defensive about it. But Moses is like, well, you probably got a point here. This may not last very long. I mean, I'm going to burn. I'm just, I couldn't even hold my hands up for a few hours the other day. And now, I'm going to need help. The point is, look, the help is not bad. The support is not bad. Be open to counsel. Learning is listening. If you're going to learn, if you're going to grow, you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to take counsel. Accept that, you know, this person, they may not be in your group. They may not be in your whatever, but they may have some good advice about what you're doing. And they may be able to see a little bit further down the road than you do. So counsel the right thing the wrong way. You got that. Be open to it. That's Moses. He is, I mean, at this point, I could say that he's got enough credibility under his belt as far as leadership and leading a nation and delivering a nation and watching all this stuff that God has done to Egypt and through the nation of Israel and all that kind of stuff and leading them out into the wilderness. And so he's got some things he's done and accomplished here. But in these day-to-day matters, he might need a little bit of help. Just some day-to-day stuff. And I heard an interesting thing. This is, I don't know, it may be true. It sounded good. But they were talking about the difference in warriors and particularly like special ops guys. And they said, you know, there are guys who are really good in emergency situations. And I mean, when you know, stuff starts falling apart, they're composed and they understand kind of the layout and they're able to just sort of handle the falling apart. But in day-to-day stuff,
those guys are not good day to day. They're good in emergencies, but they're not good day to day. On the other hand, you have guys that are very good day to day. They handle the day to day stuff. But when the emergency happens, no. You don't want this guy, you want him to get out of the way and listen to the other guy that's good at this. And so it's just different personalities and stuff like that. And I thought it was kind of interesting. And Moses is probably one of those, or seems like one of those that maybe the day-to-day stuff is a little bit trickier, because he's dealt with some pretty violent emergency situations. And now the day-to-day stuff, he's kind of like, well, you know, I'll keep doing it this way. And Jethro's like, well, you can't keep doing it that way. You're just not going to, it's not going to work. So be open to counsel. And then third is this. It's a simple principle that you've heard 100 times, I'm sure, but many hands make light work is kind of the idea. And Jethro's point is it's three-part delegation, really. And I kind of explained it while ago, but I'll go over it real quick again here. The first thing he says is in verse 20. Teach the people. Just teach them as a congregation what are the ordinances and principles from God. First, just teach all the people congregationally. And generally, well-trained people who are understanding in the words and principles of God, they're equipped to problem solve much of their own lives. They're just equipped to problem solve much of their own lives. And so if you can just teach them as a congregation and explain to them the principles, a lot of this stuff that you're dealing with every day will just sort of go away, because they'll be able to apply it. They understand. And so this is the idea of what church is. This is part of the idea. A lot of counseling doesn't get done because if people listen to the preaching, that's the counseling. A lot of it is just the counseling. So his first piece of advice, just teach the people all the principles as a group, as a congregation. And much counseling can be done from the pulpit. So have a good curriculum from the pulpit, and people will be equipped to problem solve a lot of their own life problems, a lot of things going on. So that said, there's an application there. Godly living needs to be taught, and it is in Christianity, but godly living needs to be taught. And if every, I remember thinking this years ago in certain church, but it was like every sermon was about salvation. And it's like, okay, well, we've got that part, but how do I be a Christian? You keep telling me I need to be saved. I've got that part of it. So what I need and what a lot of other people need is, how do I live as a Christian? How do I act as a Christian? How do I behave? How do I parent? How do I run a business? How do I be an employee as a Christian? How do these relationships work? And if every sermon is about salvation, well then people will starve trying to figure out how are they supposed to live as Christians. So there has to be a balance in all that stuff. But what it tells me with Moses is if he's teaching people how to live. How do you live day to day? How do you handle these problems that show up between you and your neighbor, or you and your mom, or you and your dad, or your parents and your children, or your in-laws, or whatever? How do you navigate this? So teach the people congregationally. Godly living needs to be taught. If every sermon is about salvation, then people are just gonna die on the vine trying with disinterest to figure out how to live as Christians. Second thing, all right, not everything gets solved from the pulpit. And that's the second tier here. He says, Jethro says in verse really 21 through 22, he says, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens, and let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. So if it can't get solved from the pulpit, then the next thing is you ordain spiritual people, not wealthy people, not good business people. You ordain spiritual people who can sort through these matters. And I think about just all that last point about the pulpit. I mentioned this. I remember when we first got here, there's a few folks that they wanted to have like Bible studies on these odd days, I don't know, like Saturday or something. Hey, can you come over to the house and have Bible study and all that stuff? And I had, at that time, I remember I had made it a sort of a law to myself here and our family, because I was still working in the oil field and all that, and I'd still do the same thing anyway if I'm not working in the oil field. But my advice to the folks first was, well, if you can make it to church and you're still not getting enough, then we can talk about meeting on Saturdays or something else. But if you're at the beach on Sunday and then you got drama with your family and you want me to show up on Saturday night, maybe just be in church. Because that'll sort out a lot of stuff. But if that doesn't work, sometimes it doesn't work, and there's a little more complicated issues going on. Jethro says, ordain some spiritual men to judge these matters. Not everything, like I said, is going to be sorted out through the pulpit. There are some complex matters that can't be addressed in an hour on Sunday, and that's just the way it is. There are lots of, you know, there's lots of reasons you can't figure out certain judgments. Sometimes it's motive, sometimes it's just, that's where discernment comes in. You're trying to figure out what principle applies to the situation, because so many principles seem to be at work here, and I can't figure out which one actually applies to your life here. And sometimes motives are hidden, and that covers up, clouds the issue. There's just a lot of things that kind of cloud the issue. Emotions can cloud the issues, all that kind of stuff. So Jethro says, What you need as far as judges is, and discerning individuals, is you need spiritual people. You don't need rich people. You don't need business people. You need people that fear God. You need people that hate covetousness, so they're not going to be affected by money. And you need people who love righteousness and love the truth. And those are the kind of people that can make sound judgments about these matters. These are spiritual people. And I don't find anything bad about that advice at all. That sounds like great advice. That sounds like something God would say. Find spiritual individuals and let them sort of start sorting through some of this mess here. So, like Jethro says, these officials, they need an objective spiritual perspective. They need to be able men, he says, who fear God. And fearing God is necessary. It's necessary because absent the fear of God means really you have no regard for an authority that's higher than you, and it makes your judgment poor. If you don't believe there's any God higher than you, your judgment is poor. It can't be good. It can't be good judgment. Second thing Jethro says is you need able men who love the truth. Well, this is obvious. If you don't love the truth, then you, even if you found the truth, you may not want the truth. And so, able men who love the truth, liars honestly have a hard time spotting the truth. They just have a hard time figuring out what the truth is. And then if you don't love the truth, then even if you stumble upon it, you're not going to like what you find anyway. So, you need men who fear God, who love the truth, And he says, who aren't covetous, which is an obvious thing. Because if you're covetous, then I just buy you off. I just buy you off and you make the judgment and you tell me the price and I give you the price and you make the judgment and you write the court order and then whatever happens, happens. You know, you get what you want out of it because you're dealing with a perverted judge. So they can't be covetous. If you love money and possessions and those things possess you, you're incapable, really incapable of making sound judgments. And furthermore, you're just prone to taking bribes and gifts, and you just aren't able to judge the right way. So that said, that's the second layer of advice here. If it doesn't work from the pulpit, if you can't sort out these matters, then find 70 spiritual men and let them start to sort out some of this stuff that's going on. And then, and you know, there is, I'll just say there's a lot more wisdom to that. There are a lot of unintended consequences. If you can't start to sort through, if Moses can't start to sort through some of these folks' problems in an efficient way, you know how a small problem becomes a bigger problem? And so if it's just Moses trying to sort through everybody's problems, there's a lot of wisdom in sort of delegating out and letting people start to filter through and in a timely way start dealing with this stuff. There's a lot of wisdom to that. And you find out that even in the New Testament, when the apostles are in Jerusalem and they're delegating deacons, they're trying to free up time to labor in the words of God so they can minister to the people the words of God. So the way they do, they find spiritual men who can start to do these logistical things. I mean, take the food here and do the food here and separate this. And these people are fighting because she's got food and she doesn't have food. And their family got something and this other family didn't get something. And so in Jerusalem in Acts, seven men, seven deacons, spiritual men who can sort of filter through this stuff and start mediating these problems. Now, so that's the second layer. The third then, Jethro says, because not everything's going to be sorted out that way either. And then some of these matters that you're going to have to sort out, Moses, are going to be actually more far-reaching than just the families involved. And so in verses 22 and 23, he says, and let them judge the people in all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure all the this people shall also go to their place in peace. So the last sort of stage of this is Moses. If you can't deal with it from the pulpit, and if you can't deal with it with the delegated folks, then let the matter come to you. And these would be like some Supreme Court level matters. This is stuff that I would say it may be too complex, or it's just so far-reaching. If I make a judgment on this, it's not just going to affect this family. This is going to affect the whole nation. That's like a Supreme Court matter. We're going to make a judgment on this that's going to affect the whole nation. And so some of these things that Moses is going to have to deal with, they're going to be much bigger than just the problem at hand. There's a time when Moses has to deal with these sisters. They have no brother, and who gets the inheritance now? Who's supposed to have this? And so they come to Moses, and he sorts through it and gets with the Lord and gets an answer about it. And so, but it's stuff like that that has to be resolved. And so this counsel that Jethro gives, it's good counsel. It's reiterated, it looks like, in the New Testament, sort of this way it's done here. But three things I notice in it. Real simple thoughts, but the right thing can be done the wrong way. The right thing can be done the wrong way, or it can be done in just a really inefficient way that's not going to last. And what does its counsel do? Well, it adds longevity to this ministry. It's just going to add longevity to it. Second thing is, be open to counsel. If you're going to have counsel, if you're going to learn at all in life, you're going to have to listen. And you're going to have to be open to some counsel. And that requires humility. That requires, you know, setting your pride aside. That requires listening and not having an agenda. And I just want to learn. I want to learn what you're saying. I want to hear what you're saying because maybe you have a better idea than I do. So be open to counsel. Third thing is simple. Many hands make light work. And Moses would go on to say, I think it's in Numbers, where the record of the 70 elders is made. But in Numbers, Moses would go on to say, you know, essentially, I wish it wasn't just 70 elders that had the discernment of God. I wish all of Israel had this. I wish everybody in Israel had the Spirit of God and they could just sort through this and they could figure these things out. And so he says that in Numbers. So delegation, yeah, it's just, Moses said, I wish God would just pour out his Spirit on everybody and all of Israel would be able to prophesy and be able to discern and things like that. So three things about counsel in this chapter. I think, like I said, it's good counsel. Doesn't seem to be bad in any way. Seems to be helpful and seems to be honored by God going forward. So right thing can be done in a bad way or an inefficient way. Be open to counsel. Many hands make light work, and that's true. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. I pray it's been helpful. And thank you for your words. Thank you for each soul that's here. I pray that you would make these applications wherever they need to be made, whether it's just humility and just listening to counsel and not thinking we've got it all figured out. Maybe it's understanding how to do something in a more efficient and effective way. And maybe it's about delegation. Maybe it's about putting more folks to work. I think it was Moody that said it, and he would rather put 10 men to work than do the work of 10 men. And so there's a lot of wisdom in all that. So I pray you'd help us with these things, and I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.